Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another wonderful episode of CookieCast. Today is part two of my sit-down conversation with Ed Dinch. Another great conversation with me and Ed. We got the technical stuff out of the way in part one. Now we're diving straight in with what Ed's been checking out on YouTube recently. A little bit of sport, some more diet stuff in there, and the usual fun to finish things off. So here's my sit down with Ed Dinch part two. Enjoy. So my next challenge is, so I had a small incident last night where I realised that...
Happens to everyone. It's an age thing.
It is an age thing, I'm afraid. I had a small incident last night where I realised that I hadn't been uploading the podcast to SoundCloud for a series of weeks. And went, oh my God! I realised this at probably about 30 seconds after my tea was ready. And I went, oh no. And then I was like, tea's ready and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I just need to really quickly upload, you know, four podcasts to SoundCloud. 5 hours
of my life.
At which point I heard the phone beep. And I went, why's the phone beeping? Why is SoundCloud not responding? What the shit's going on? And we'd had some kind of strange power cut where my internet had gone off. And you can imagine the panic. And the fact that nothing was working. And then one of the cats decided that I needed 20 claw marks in my leg. And yeah, there was a small explosion in my house. The top of my head.
To this new challenge.
The new challenge is that we need to revisit the RSS feed from YouTube.
And figure out how that actually
and
works.
And figure out how that works.
So this could really be a podcast as opposed to a YouTube podcast.
Yeah, the other thing that also annoyed me was after finally getting those things uploaded to SoundCloud, in the wrong order, I might add, SoundCloud then went, remember that money you gave us? Well, it wasn't enough money. Give us more money. And I was like, oh my God, stop asking me for money. I get annoyed when things want money from me because, you know, I'm trying to do things for the cheap.
Why are you asking for money when it's actually worthwhile? Don't bill every Tom, Dick and Harry, because let's face it, every Tom, Dick and Harry doesn't have the money to waste.
Yeah.
But at this point, we don't. Take the hint, SoundCloud.
Come on, you had £5 out of me. That should be enough. Come on. Apparently, £8. But I'm still trying to work out if they count the original £5 and so just want three more pounds. Or do they want a whole £8 from me?
You know for a fact they want a whole £8. It's never just £3. And after that, they're going to walk into your shop and say, yeah, we never got that protection money. And before you know it's a whole racket.
And they're going to do what they've done every time. Oh, we've hidden your podcasts. If you want them back, give us more money. And I'm like, fuck you. So yeah, we need to get on the whole YouTube.
Find a method of doing
the YouTube thing. My mate gave me a method and it worked brilliantly right up until I had sent it to iTunes, and iTunes were like, here's six errors you don't understand. And I was like, I ain't got time for this shit. So I gave them the SoundCloud link and they went, ha! Here's two errors that you might have a chance of solving. So
we're hoping
down that
for
link.
YouTube to be, here's half an error, but we'll accept it.
Yeah, so basically we need to go back and look at the six errors that YouTube's RSS feed gave us and then look at a way to solve that problem.
Right.
Speaking of YouTube, do you want to give me a YouTube rundown of anything you've watched recently?
I haven't actually watched that much differently, I'm afraid. I've stuck to my Outside Xbox, Outside Extra. I'm pretty up to date with virtually most things they've been doing. So nothing overly new, unfortunately. But I did enjoy a Dorkly one the other day that just reminded me how simple The Sims can be, where they had a nice little challenge of, we're both going to set up a family of four, identically modelled on my competitor. So Tony modelled all of his on Tristan modelled all of his on Tony. Weirdly enough, Tristan had an array of characters, so they had Tony as the first character. He then had Pony as the second character, Honey as the third, There was a thing going on.
I'm starting to see a pattern here.
Which I appreciated the effort of, but with a simple challenge, we each have a family of four. First person to kill their four sins in completely different methods wins. And I was enjoying watching this purely because Tony hadn't successfully killed anybody at this stage, and Tristan was three down. Mm. We'd had a fire, we'd had a drowning, we'd had starved to death, and then his fourth person went and starved to death as well.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's a bit unfortunate. But I looked at it, I went, how are you actually trying to... And I thought, how many different ways are there to kill sins?
All I remember was people talking about...
drowning or burning them. That was about it.
You build a wall round a sin.
Yep, and that still exists.
And you starve them to death by building a wall around
them. Or, in their original version, they made a swimming pool, made him get in, and then built a wall around the swimming pool, so he was stuck swimming loops. He couldn't do anything.
That would be terrifying.
And yeah, it was quite grim, actually, to watch. I thought to myself, that's a bit harsh. They don't even show the flow. The sin just sort of sunk and drowned and just kept dropping. They didn't reach the bottom of a pool or anything. He just kept falling. He's vanished. He's like, oh, that's just a bit bleak. So, yeah, I was enjoying watching them have their little competitions. So I think that's my next little tangent. It's going to be watching the Dorkley challenges. They do a few just random challenges. Weird and wonderful things. So they did a nice one where they dual played Sonic and Mario on one controller. And they had to try and finish the level. And obviously, Sonic moves a lot faster than Mario. Mm. Mario gets a fair few more bad guys turning up at random points. So trying to play them at the same time on one controller was quite entertaining to watch.
Something you might enjoy is I don't think they do it anymore because, like you were saying, Zelda's been out a little while now. But they would play Zelda on the Switch, but two-player. So one would have one Joy-Con, the other would have the other, and then try and complete sections of Zelda, like a two-player game.
Cooperative thing.
I never really watch stuff like that. I'm always a bit like, do I want to watch somebody play a game?
Sometimes it's a giggle. Because the other one that Dorkley did was the Steamer Award, and it's purely to do with Steam as a game service.
Mm-hmm.
They were each told to go and find the worst thing they could.
Steam.
£5 maximum spend. Go find the worst game you could. Well, obviously they started trawling through the early access, but looking at the games that people are, and I give credit to the people who made them purely because at least you're trying, you're learning. I'm sure you're getting better, and one day you'll make something stunning. But fuck me, what you started with was shit. Looking at what they built was just abysmal. The motion of they had the workout simulator. Which was it was like watching an original action man. Literally, the arms and legs would move in a set direction. That was the movement. And that was it. That was all it could do. It could move over, it could do some workouts. But there was an open world outside that you could go and run around and do nothing in.
Mm.
It was just, I quite like these challenges. So I was thinking more of these obscure little gameplay ones. They did a nice one for the Breath of the Wild a while back, which is, I'm going to throw a cuckoo into the volcano. And anyone who's played this game now knows, will be fully aware that the cuckoos are mostly located within a little town, basically on the other side of the bloody map.
Mm.
And to get a cuckoo there, you have to carry it. And watching them try and get there in the end was just agony and very entertaining to watch. But the simple question they asked is, what happens when you throw a cuckoo into that volcano? And the end answer was the same thing that happens to everything else, it burns. So a very disappointing ending for the agonising journey that it must have been to get it from one point to the other. So I was thinking that's something for you to enjoy conceiving at some point, is, okay, I'm going to get a standard game. I'm going to figure out what we do in it, and I'm going to find a challenge in it. The Outside Xbox do one, which was basically happy slapping.
Nice.
What you did as a character, you had to go into one of the Jarl's buildings, go up to the Jarl, take off all your clothes, all of your weapons, disarm all your magic, slap him and run. If you can make it out of the town alive, you win. Obviously, they don't make it very far.
Mm.
Very entertaining, though, to watch the challenge and the pain of it. Oh, beautiful. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go find myself some gaming challenges. Just for the weird things people sort of dawn on you. It's like, okay, who can do this? Oh, that's actually a tricky one. I'm sure there'll be some horrible ones to be done in Left 4 Dead, and I'm pretty sure Dying Light will have a horrid one, which is, I can't conceive them, but there'll be some great challenges out there just to watch and laugh at. I think there was one they did where they had to get a gnome. I've not played Left 4 Dead. But in it, there's an actual carnival scene, and when you're at the carnival, you can shoot the things, and if you get so many points, you get a gnome. Mm-hmm. To which their challenge, I think, was you had to throw a gnome at a witch.
Oh, wow.
So obviously getting the gnome was the first part of the challenge, and then finding the bloody witch was a second bit. And then getting near enough to him that you could throw this gnome. My God, watching them play was agony.
Yeah.
They're entertaining, though.
Yeah, those witches were a bitch.
Never played, as I say. It looks like something I should give a go, but...
I played it a bit.
I think I've left it too late. Both of them dated for me.
I used to work on the principal because I'd play it with other people. You know, that was one of the few games I did play multiplayer. Mm. Although multiplayer was a bit of a stretch because we'd usually be in the same place, just using multiple Xbox.
I'll be honest, that sounded like the best... a lad who used to work with us, and he wasn't massive for travelling around. I don't know if I'm trying to avoid saying names just in case, just to be fair to the world, but still, he used to work with us. Very nice lad, bit good gamer for this. He went, oh no, I've got a mad weekend planned. I went, what are you doing? Oh, we'll have to go have a gaming session. He goes, what do you mean you're having a gaming session? Well, basically, I'm turning up with my 42-inch TV and my PlayStation. My friend's turning up with his 42-inch TV and his PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're going to join our friend with his 42-inch TV and his PlayStation. I'm sad to see a picture. Literally, they all four of them were gathering together with their tellies, with their PlayStations, putting them into the local network so they could actually do local co-op on separate screens. I thought, that sounds like so much fun.
Old school multiplayer.
Oh, local doesn't exist anymore. That's how it
should be done.
And I just love the props for the effort of actually getting four whole systems up and running. I walked into Game for the first time in a long time today to find that they've actually dedicated an entire corner to gaming.
Mm.
Not buying them, but to actually playing them. They all sat there. It's pitch designed black
to sell high-end PCs.
Yeah, that's what they are doing now. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's all designed around that.
That is amazing. And I really like that effort they're putting in there.
14-year-old boys start playing games.
I'm not going to badmouth them for their choice of who they sell it to. You know, beggars can't be choosers. But at least they're putting the effort in to really make it... But, you know, this is what you get for this. Come have a go.
Yeah, but see how good it is. These are the people that you market because...
Yeah, those kids, watching them in YouTube in about 6 years.
Yeah, those kids have parents and those parents have money. It's the short version.
Yeah, unfortunately. But hey...
And I think they charge like, you know, you can play for an hour for like money and stuff. They just decided to take things a different way.
And I think it's quite good, actually, because it's one... I'm pretty sure there's pubs in the world that are taking on to this idea of putting consoles in there. I remember ages ago, there's Thomas's? Just off the road from the Museum Gardens in York.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Thomas's. They used to have Rock Band set up down in the lower section of the pub. Me and Maisie used to go in there and play Rock Band while having a pint. It was great fun.
Good times.
And I think more and more should be doing this. And I'm starting to... I think there is quite a few. London things definitely have a few pubs where they're specifically set it up with a PlayStation in a cupboard and with a broken glass mount to make sure no one pinches it, obviously. Yeah. But I think it's becoming more and more of a thing.
That's a good
idea. Our friend always had this lovely concept of creating a retro pub. So, yes, it's a bar downstairs, but all the way around it, we're going to have a NES. We're going to have an N64.
Mm.
We're going to have that set up with four players and a multiplayer game. We're going to have a few of them and setting up an array of them. And my only problem is how the f*** do you monitor who's on it too much, who isn't on it enough?
Yeah. As long as they're buying beer, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm all about fair sharing. I want to make sure people don't hog the machine, prick. Buy a pint and sit in the corner for 10 minutes.
Get one of those old school... paid timer things. Put 50p in, you get like 10 minutes or something, and then the power goes off after 10 minutes.
Then I'd end up getting time crisis machines and charging people a pound a go. No, I'd instantly make sure that was knocked down to 20p a turn. I think we'd make a shitload more money that way.
Yeah.
Why is it a pound a go? Because running the machine costs about a fiver.
Yeah.
Well, it's worth it. Love those games.
So you've not been watching a whole load of YouTube, but I do know that you've been watching a little bit of Netflix.
Yes. Yes, my sister introduced me to a new It's a hard one to put into words, but fuck me, I love it. Netflix do an original series of theirs called Big Mouth. Animated series.
Yep.
And its entire focus is puberty and adolescence.
Yep.
In cartoon. My God, there is a sentence, there is a simple phrase in that program that shouldn't turn up in a cartoon more than once. Hell, probably shouldn't turn up in a cartoon at all, which is skull fucker face. It sounds really, really bad when you say it like that, but in context, it's surprisingly innocent.
I saw a trailer for it before it came out, and I fully intended to watch it. And there's a whole
I'm sort of spoiled it by giving you a couple of episodes.
No. Believe me, I'm probably going to go home and watch the rest of it.
I imagine Kaylee's still downstairs watching all of it now. We binge watched it in a day.
What I didn't realise was who the people are that do it. For me, it's the fact that it's basically got almost the entire cast of the League.
Mm.
So
you're better at this bit of the game. I'm crap with names and people. I'm good with programmes I've seen. I have no knowledge of who is who.
Yeah, so basically the main guy's like Nick Kroll, and he was in the League and has been in various other things. And then there's like the guy that played Raffi from the League, who was also in Brooklyn Nine-Nine and stuff. And just sitting and listening to the voices of these people that I've watched in a lot of TV programs and some films. Did you ever watch The Good Place?
Not off the top of my head.
That's been on Netflix recently. That's quite enjoyable. But the guy that does the voice of Jay is in that as well. He's in the second series of that. Just going through IMDb and going, my God, they literally picked up the cast of the League and put it into an animated TV show. It was very enjoyable
good. And the central focus is the troubles and trauma people go through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
But it personifies a lot of it through the characters they've got, which is the hormone monster and the hormone monstress, who are representations of your physical changes, basically. They are the thing in the back of your head, because puberty's kicked in, going, fuck it. Just whip your dick out and stick it in it. Go on, it's a good idea. I think it's kind of a tear between the id and the superego in humanity.
The line where they were having the conversation about texting between the other and the hormone monster decided, send her a dick pic.
I've got to say, so the actual explanation, spoilers for anyone, but the kids are a bit troubled. He's kissed a girl. They might be dating. They're not sure. And she must like you based on the fact that she sent him a picture of a dog dressed as a fisherman. I mean, it's a pretty happy looking dog. Oh, she must really like you. I'm not sure what I should send back. And the hormone monster's guidance was, tell him to send a dick pic. Girls love dick pics, especially when it's unprompted with no context. And there is some great bits.
God.
One of the girls unfortunately gets her period for the first time. The hormone monster turns up while he's been a good friend and he's helped her through this because it happened publicly. So they're having a hug and the hormone turns up and goes, what's that? What's that? Is that period blood? My God, you're disgusting, aren't you? No, this is bloodlust. You know what you should do? Fuck her face!
Brilliant.
And he comes out with one-liners like that just catch you so off guard. And even when you're expecting it,
as I said to you, really, the hormone monster sounds like Will Arnett doing his Batman for like Lego Batman. So it sounds like Lego Batman saying some pretty horrific stuff.
Close your eyes, you can see it. It's not just because I'm Batman and I'm awesome and fuck her face.
That's basically what it would be.
It sounds absolutely vile, but actually there's an innocence about it because there's mindsets that they address in the whole series that actually I think everybody can sort of relate to, which is, we kissed a girl last night and now I don't know what to do. And, they sent this, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. They sent a smiley face, but there's that point of adolescence where you had no clue about the other sex, so everything must have meant something else. And then they address other things, which is, you know, the lad's acceptance there. Girls don't really want these things. We do. And understanding of the alternative sex as well. And it's surprisingly good.
What's nice about it is that definitely goes away as you get older.
It does.
You get this complete
understanding. I don't know if this series is going to get past it or not.
You get this complete understanding of the opposite sex and you understand everything about it.
Suddenly you stop thinking about yourself and start thinking purely about them. And the tables are turned. It's weird.
Wait, no,
but yeah. really, it's a very good series. It's blind filth in between a lot of actually relatable innocence. I strongly encourage people to give it a watch. I actually think as the world's becoming more accepting that kids swear and these things are happening, I think this will become a sexual education video. I do.
They're going to start showing it in schools.
They're going to turn up to Citizenship and the first half lesson. Okay, so we're going to watch episode one of Big Mouth, just to really, you know, get you kids understanding the world. And then we're going to talk a little bit about religion and politics. You know, 40 minutes of the lesson is going to be smutty TV, but you're going to learn something.
Brilliant.
And the other 20 minutes might be a bit about the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky, we'll teach you how to change a plug. If you're lucky. They don't teach practical things.
No.
Anyway, so yes, so I've been churning through a bit Netflix. I did watch one the other day on Netflix. It's your first cast actually encouraged to us. It was Pain and Gain. I'd never seen that. We watched it, and I got so far thinking, my God, this is a little bit serious actually. I thought this was going to be a bit comical. I thought this was going to be, because Dwayne Johnson, early career, usually had a bit of a comedic value to it. And actually, it wasn't. There was some funny bits. I thought this is quite serious, and then suddenly it just got flipped on its head, and had to remind you that this is a true story. Because for me, it was funny.
For me, it's the bit where Dwayne Johnson crawls out from the behind the sofa, and the woman's like, "What are you doing, honey?" And he's like, "Brain," because he's just doing loads and loads
drugs
of cocaine.
After drugs after
and he just,
drugs.
He just crawls out from the brain, and it's just like. Brilliant. And she's just banging on about how he needs to pay his like hotel bill.
I really enjoyed watching him barbecuing hands outside and just waving to the neighbour.
Yeah.
So as if this is made a horrible smell in there.
You can't do this inside.
No.
You can't do this inside. No. It stinks. Yeah.
So many
love
things.
That film. And like you say, I watched it the first time and you start out with it as it is at the start and you start watching it through and just about the point that you go, oh, this is pretty serious, it just flashes up on screen.
See, the
just a reminder.
Showing him doing the workout on the billboard and things. I thought this was going to be like he promotes a gym by doing workouts in, you know, public places where, you know, dangerous places, so become sort of chased by the cops as a publicity thing. No, it went a whole different direction. No. I ain't even going to try and spoil it for people. I mean, I think they've got enough from me from just by saying Dwayne Johnson cooking hands in a barbecue outside.
When they flash up on screen, just a reminder, this is a true story. It's and at that point, I was like...
Ridiculous.
Oh, wow, yeah, this is a true story.
You do completely forget.
It's bonkers.
Great film. True. I'm very pleased Netflix had it.
True definition of how stupid some people can be.
Never underestimate the power of stupidity. It can achieve great things and go horribly, horribly wrong all at the same time.
So knowing you in the way that I know you so well, I wrote a little collection of show notes for today. And one of the things that I put on there, knowing you so well, was sports.
Ugh. The watching of it or the fact that you've seen me run recently and you all sort of jaw-dropped fucking stared because I didn't die and my dad actually hit my nimble.
So, which of those two things do you think I want to talk about?
Obviously my hatred of it. Okay. I will play... So we did our whiskey and cigar night on Friday, the one just passed, and it wasn't pure whiskey and cigars. Someone joked with the idea of playing basketball, and obviously I assumed they were taking the mick with this, forgetting that not a 1 minute walk from Rob's front door is a basketball net and court.
Yeah.
So yes, we went to play basketball.
I think it was probably the point that somebody turned up with a basketball that you maybe
that clicked in my head.
Things have maybe changed a little.
I thought, I was kind of hoping it was someone's taking the visit. Yeah, because you said about basketball. Ha, funny, I've got a ball.
Yeah, let's play.
No, it's definitely
I think we were out there within the first 10 minutes. Yeah, it was all arriving.
It wasn't long. We did take beer to make it a little better.
Yeah, you know, you've got to make it manly.
I learned a lesson actually there, which is sport does not retain muscle memory. It's not like falling off a bike. I remember being at school and playing a bit of basketball and being able to actually score a basket. That skill has left me.
The ability to score
was crap.
You say that, but there's a few things I want to discuss. So, when I was at school, I played a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
Mostly in the car park at home. But I did play a lot of basketball. I had a little hoop. Tied to a tree I played a lot of basketball, and I used to shoot the hoop, and I used to shoot it and shoot it and shoot it, and I could get the ball through the hoop. It was good. And then I went to school, and eventually we got to play basketball, and I played basketball at school, and I enjoyed it because it was something I could do because I practiced quite a lot, and that was that. So in the back of my head, I'm like, oh yeah,
I can do this.
Basketball, I can,
muscle memory.
I can be great. Play basketball. This will be awesome.
Bullshit. And,
you know, I'm not the thinnest guy, but I can move because I've shed a lot of the weight, and I generally.
And you're actually relatively healthy, which means you have a lung capacity.
Yeah.
I'm going to be as nice as I can, but Mr. Walls amazes me. I mean. Diabetic. He's not the slimmest bloke in the world, but he's not unhealthy.
He took me to school.
God, he can run. He didn't stop moving the whole time. I did a 5-second sprint and had to lie down.
You did need a couple of sit downs, but that's okay. So did other people.
I gave my effort. I did it.
So I'm there and I'm like, okay, I can play basketball, so this is fine. I haven't played in, you know, 20 something years, but I'm sure it'll be fine. You, on the other hand, was there going, I don't want to do this. I'm bringing my beer with me. This was supposed to be whiskey and cigars, not running around.
Not running.
You took your shoes off.
Not physical exertion. I could not run in brogues. They have no grip. I'd have slipped, died, and probably killed someone else in the process.
But socks?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Nibble on my toes, literally.
So I think we all kind of had the idea that.
Ed, you know, doesn't know what's going on here.
Ed's not sure what's going on. His shoes are off. The shoes are off. The sleeves are rolled up. The beer's in hand. And then you scored.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there any time, was it, though?
No, there was a couple. Nothing compared to Phil's. Phil got the better score. Phil did way better. Although I would like to point out, just on recording, Wee Willie Williams, I'm calling him that. I'm going to make it a thing on the podcast.
It's Bill. It'll always be Bill.
Oh, I quite like Wee Willie Williams, but okay, Wee Billy Williams.
There we go.
Sporty man, plays sports, watches sports, loves sports, screamed when the ball went near him. I didn't. Just want to point out, I'm the guy who would straighten his own hair. I'm a little bit effeminate of these things. Look after my nails. I got the ball, gave it my all. Ball went near Paul. He screamed.
There's more to that story. He had actually referenced you screaming when the ball came out.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, screamed when the ball
came. Oh, I was so proud. I was like, yes, that's it. I'm
officially to be fair, it wasn't a scream. It was a little squeal, but yeah.
That's not bless better.
Him. Bless
that's
his actually, little cottons.
I think that's worse.
Maybe. So just remind me again, of all the people that were there, of all seven of us, who was the only person that didn't score?
Was it you?
It was me. Yeah.
It was you.
Yeah, I could not get that ball in that freaking hoop.
I blame
the backboard.
I'm blaming the hoop. I think it was too rigid. It didn't have any give to let the ball drop. It was solid, and therefore the ball touched it and bounced away.
Yeah, I could throw it and I could get it to bounce off, and I could throw it and get it to go short, but I could not get that ball to go in.
Yeah, I'm blaming the ball too. Too much air.
It was good.
We had a good laugh, and I'll be honest, I'm not the sportiest bloke.
There was a conversation later that we think that you've been hiding the fact that really you say you hate sport, but you're actually naturally gifted at sport.
I have no interest in watching them. I don't care who wins. I've got very little interest in playing them. The problem is I am actually very competitive. I like to win. I like to do my best. I don't really mind if I lose. I take it with the take on the chin. It's all fair and good. But in anything I do, I like to succeed. Probably why I do so well with the things I do is I can't just getting it vaguely right isn't enough. It has to be right. I have to do better. So when you put the ball in my hand and suddenly I go, you know what? This is happening. There's a sprint on and suddenly no one quite can believe that Dench can move. He's now lying on the floor, hyperventilating.
There was a bit of that.
Desperately clinging to his cigarette like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, to be fair,
that was a good sprint.
Smoking whilst playing basketball, so there was probably some connection there between the smoking, the basketball, and the lying down.
yeah,
I'm not saying there was a connection.
The lying down felt better when smoking.
I'm sure. I remember those days.
I will always give me hell. If you put me in the event, I will have a bloody good go. I may look like a tit doing it, but fuck me, I will at least make the effort.
I can safely say that I think we were all very impressed, to the point that we think that it's actually the other way around. You love sport. You think it might be a thing. You love the sport.
Yeah, and I like the competition, I do. I enjoy contests. It's not a good trait in people, but as long as you take
I don't know.
Say, just don't be a dick when you win and don't be an arse when you lose. Exactly. I think that's the rule.
Those are the things you've got. You can't be a sore loser and you can't be a sore winner. You just have to be gracious, I think, as well.
Up until the moment someone's gone, you'll never do that, then you do it and you're like, go fuck yourself, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're allowed to be smug when it's warranted.
Oh, definitely.
Just don't be an arse. I enjoyed it a lot. Don't get me wrong, you're not going to get me golfing. I've been to a driving range with my uncle before and I still don't see why.
Come on, you must have seen the clothes. Surely you must be drawn to some of the golf attire.
Well, that white jumpsuit did look good, but I'm pretty sure he was the gardener.
He's the gardener.
He was missing. All he was missing was a strimmer.
There's some tank top action going on.
And that's just the women.
Hats.
Testicles some, hanging below the skirts.
Yeah. Some you can get checked trousers.
No, I know.
I tell you something. You want to see somebody who does the golfing look well? You see Thomas Quinn on the golf course.
I'm gonna say Phil Walls
matching.
Phil Walls looks like a golfer.
Phil does golfers well, and he
suits him beautifully.
He does do golf well.
Tom's got the legs for it actually, because I get the thing he wears those shorts that come just past the knee.
No, matching trousers, top. And tank top.
All in plaid.
And shoes.
All plaid?
No. Oh. The last one was a grey tank top and trousers with an orange shirt underneath. And the shoes were grey and orange. And I was like, you really do match today.
You see, it's moments like this. I don't think Tom is just not suitable for a podcast. The world needs to see him when he does these things. Based on that alone.
Once we venture into the video podcast world, then we'll just get Tom on there. We had a lot of Tom from Friday night, but I don't think a lot of it's going to be usable, mostly because we had a lot of Tom.
And a lot of his personal taste of television. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Valley.
The Valleys?
Yeah. Night's going well, having a good time. We played some Cards Against Humanity. Mildly offensive. We'll trim out the really offensive stuff. Yeah, we'll have a listen.
We'll cut a fair.
And then the Valley turned up, and Tom got so happy and excited about this rubbish. And the only thing best explanation I can give you is one of two. It's either a Welsh Geordie Shaw, which should put most people off, or it's Welsh people fucking.
Yeah.
And either way, you shouldn't want to watch that. Mm. It's just, Jesus Christ.
You know,
I didn't explain it that way to Tom earlier. He goes, at least it wasn't sheep. And I said, well, I did see half the women on there, and I'm not convinced they're not animals.
You left, and at some point the TV got turned over to Wayne's World. So, yeah.
At what point did we get Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen?
We didn't get a new Bohemian Rhapsody.
Too late for that.
We got the conversation that they have on the roof in Chinese or whatever it is.
My
Hong.
Yeah. All
that stuff. That was a little bit, just as we were walking out the door.
Why did you get me a gun rack for my guns? Are you mental? I don't own a gun.
I don't own a gun, let alone guns.
Enough guns to warrant a rack.
Brilliant. So after our last conversation, which has not yet been publicised, but will at some point, so people will then know what we're talking about.
I'm going to have done like 10 of these before one of them goes up.
It's going to happen.
Maybe.
It's going to happen. In fact, you should prepare yourself for...
I think the missus wants to hear it more than I do.
She gets to hear you
all the time. After our last conversation,
we had a conversation about diets, and I decided to adopt your diet technique by drinking more coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for me, the coffee that I drink has got a lot of sugar in. So I think I've actually put a bit of weight on, so this diet's not working for me, Edward. However,
how is your black coffee without sugar? Because that's what you've got today.
This is the long meander I'm taking to get us to this point. On Friday night, Mr. Robert Rafton said, oh, Mr. Cook, would you like a coffee? And I was like, ooh, love a coffee. He put the coffee machine on. There was a bag of coffee, like a proper real coffee. There was
water. He binned it and then actually just got a hammer and an old pestle and mortar and ground it by hand.
There was all sorts going on. And then
fed it to a cat so it would shit it out and get extra flavour.
Catch a coffee, that was there. So at one point, I think I was...
Happy luau.
I think I was outside, so I must have been outside with you. And he produced a cup of coffee, which I looked at and went...
It's very black.
It's very black. Now, the cup was black, so that could have been part of the explanation. However, not enough of the explanation to get away from the fact that that was some black, black coffee.
Mm.
And I looked at it and went, well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if it hasn't got any milk in, probably not got any sugar in either.
No.
And I took a swig of that black, black coffee and didn't hate it.
Grows on you, doesn't it?
So six to eight cups of black coffee later, I was like,
I
honestly can't believe that this is a thing.
It makes a difference which coffee you drink. It
really does. Yeah, I mean, I've always known if you drink a good cup of coffee, you shouldn't need milk or sugar. Whereas if you drink a bad cup of coffee...
I think it is always going to be a preference thing, but to drink it black really does make a difference. Nespresso, the actual standard Nescafe stuff, Nescafe Original, is quite a bitter, unpleasant, cheap coffee. It's the sort of thing I expect a hairdresser to give me when I say, yes, I'd love a coffee while I wait. It's acceptable, but it's not something I drink en masse, whereas the Gold Blend is much smoother, much easier going, and if you really want to kick yourself in the nuts with it, just put more in. And if you want an easy going coffee, just stick to the one or two teaspoons. Perfectly safe. And I love this stuff.
What are we drinking here?
Gold Blend. Because this is my staple.
This is my second cup of black coffee at your house. And again, I'm really starting to get a bit freaked out because I can drink this.
Yeah, just don't overdo the tip. You put too much and it gets that bitter edge about it, but just enough and it goes down so easy. It's just got that little bitterness that you expect from coffee, but other than that, it's flavour. It's good. You know, last time you asked me who would I actually advertise for, I'm going to change my answer. I don't want to advertise for smoke companies. I want to advertise for Nescafe.
Whoa.
Because I would... Nescafe Gold Blend is... I carry a bag in my work bag.
You do carry
just so
bag,
I have it with me. As well,
you don't
as,
always carry the cup around with you.
No. Occasionally I have to give in to a Costa and then fill that up. But
did I leave my cup here? No.
Yeah, I did.
Well, no, you did, and then I took it back to your desk. It's on your desk right now.
Yeah.
You have ruined part of my podcast because I was going to ask you if you'd changed your adverts.
Yes.
So you've jumped...
I'm beating the game.
You've jumped two whole spaces in this game.
Mm.
So, yeah, black coffee. Apparently that's a thing now. So I'll keep you posted with how I get on. I think the true test is going to be when I make a cup of coffee at home.
Because
I've got all the stuff. I've got the syrup. I've got the milk.
I think it's something to be wary of because people tell me that coffee is a diuretic. And I don't want to go into a horrible in-depth world of poo conversation, so we'll be as brief as I can about this. Be wary about your coffee intake. If it's a diuretic and you start to feel yourself going far more often, maybe ease back on the coffee.
Yeah, okay.
I've never found this. It's an American thing. Maybe it's only certain coffee. But they always make this joke of, oh, the coffee's kicked in and they go to the bathroom. So, when does this happen to people? Am I missing something?
I think you need to put food in your system for that to happen. So it probably doesn't apply to you.
I'll be eating later, maybe, at this rate.
When you say later, do you mean later this week?
Oh, with any luck, Kaylee will need feeding at some point. I should still eat at some stage tonight. Maybe.
I don't know why, but I had some flash image of that scene in Jurassic Park where they were like feeding the animals.
That is a lot of poo. Oh, not that scene.
No, when they're feeding the animals. Just when you go, she'll need feeding later. It was some kind of like lowering a goat kind of image. And it's like, okay. I don't know why. There was no reason for that. It was just...
Who's hungry and it looks like they're eating udders? I think. I can't remember what they're eating there, but the vegetarian did not look impressed. So, yeah.
So... That's my current diet. I should probably cut out all the chocolate, but
I'll get there eventually. We're cutting out the sugar in the coffee. That's a start.
But the reason being is that you were the one of two people in the same week to tell me that the secret to their diet
is a lot of coffee.
So I just increased my coffee intake.
Yeah, you see, I still think that most of my trick here is the amount of coffee I drink subsidizes for that. I don't eat during the day. I don't have breakfast. I don't do lunch. I still haven't eaten tonight and we're on, 8:30?
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, the night's dragging on. It's been over 24 hours since I consumed food, but I have drank probably 12 cups of coffee. I think I subsidise the stomach pains with burns.
That's probably another way I'm going.
The problem, well, mine all stems from being young and taking up smoking. I had a choice for 11 between dinner money and cigarette money, and, well, I think we all know which way I went. It takes a lot to get used to stomach pain. About 3 years. Just for anyone who's interested in that diet method. One, take up smoking. Two, get ready to be uncomfortable. But once you get past that, once you fight your way past that
after
wall,
the third year, you those just get stomach used pains to ease off. You're fine.
Yeah. And then you develop this lovely ability to go to a McDonald's, have three of the large meals and still want more, or wait 24 hours and just, you know, fuck it, it's fine. I might go to sleep tonight and forget to eat. It's happened before, it'll happen again. It's not a healthy method, but I do think coffee and hot drinks especially are a good subsidiary during the days if you're avoiding sugars and things, just to, oh, I'm peckish, have a cuppa. Have a brew of some description.
I actually did that today. I had a meeting over lunchtime, and I went, oh, I'll eat my lunch after the meeting, but I took a coffee to the meeting, drank the coffee and wasn't hungry anymore. Still ate my lunch.
It's fine. I'm not telling people to stop eating lunch. I'm just saying, instead of having a snack, have a cuppa, have a brew, have something that's not going to, you know, metabolise through your body in an unpleasant method. Just something that makes your body go, oh, there's something, I'll work with that. Mm. I think it does make a big difference.
I was thinking about it the other day, because I remember, I don't know.
A lot of them say, instead of having a you know, a small biscuit or something, have a Ryvita.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. Let's eat a coaster. If you like a cup of tea, start drinking it black.
I've started on the green tea. I'm currently drinking jasmine green tea.
I'll have to give that a go just to see what it's like. Yeah, I've never been a big fan of green tea. I find it very wishy-washy.
I have to put blackcurrant in it. Yeah. So it's just hot blackcurrant by the time I'm finished.
Move on to the Earl Greys. There's Earl Grey, Lady Grey and Sunshine Grey. Mm. Earl Grey's got a good flavour to it, sort of smoky flavour. Mm-hmm. The Lady and the Sunshine have a citrus note to them, so they've got a citrus bit more to them. Good. And if it's, the problem is my taste buds are pretty much dead, so I like a strong flavour. Lapsang Souchong tastes like old books. It's a really nice tea to drink black because it's just got a lot of flavour.
Yeah.
The thing I always find about teas when they're black, especially, they sort of leave a bit of a dry feeling at the back of your throat after you swallowed and things. It's not unpleasant, it's just, I think it's an acquired thing, because even I'm not a big lover of that. But every now and then, a Lapsang Souchong, an Earl Grey, Lady or Sunshine Grey, they're really nice, they've got flavour.
Did you ever watch Spaced?
Yes.
Lapsang Souchong always reminds me of Spaced, because of what Brian says about it. It's like, I've got a nice Lapsang Souchong.
I can't remember what he says about it.
He's trying to comfort Daisy.
Yeah.
And he's like, a nice Lapsang Souchong.
It was just the right amount of weird, that programme. Yes, with the army guy. And I'll be honest, it's one of Sean Penn, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Was it Sean Penn? No, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Edgar Wright. That's what
Which one's Edgar Wright?
The director. He directed a lot of films.
I can't even think of what he's done, but either way.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, Baby Driver. Weird little film.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tea and coffee.
Tea and coffee. I'm going to continue on this journey of black coffee, and I'll let you know how I go. So, again, I'm going to reference a podcast that has yet to be released, but our last podcast, my favourite part of our last podcast was when we got to the end and you unleashed a barrage of fantastic impressions.
Yeah, I still haven't heard those played back, so I'm not sure how I feel about trying to do any of
this. Like I say, you do not know what might happen at the back end of this week. That's all I'm saying. I can't divulge any more information, although that pretty much tells you exactly what.
Well, I'm a subscriber, so I should get an update if it happens.
You should get an update. Maybe you'll even be getting a special update.
Oh, maybe a comment.
Maybe.
An annotated note. Special thanks to Kaylee for letting us in her house.
True. Apparently I have to add all sorts of things. I have to add my spoiler to the beginning of the episode.
You do, because we always sort of start with the spoiler, get partway through it before going, oh, spoiler.
My mate Luke's given me all these varying different pointers, and apparently I need to sort out my theme music, and I need to add a spoiler thing to the beginning of the episode.
Theme music, that's a thought.
I actually downloaded a piece of free music yesterday that I'm toying with the idea of adding as my theme music. But I need to credit the guy that made it, and I don't know how I do that. Whether I just say at the beginning, our theme music's done by this guy.
I'll be honest, I think just a comment on the video would be enough.
I think a comment on it does say that you just like copy and paste it, which
just make sure I'm he's looking somewhere.
I'm more than happy to do. Yeah. I'm toying with it. It's kind of a little bit swingy. A little bit of swing music, maybe.
Oh, I can get involved with that. I think that could work. Is that or we get the Roger Rabbit, Why Don't You Do Right? I mean, really, that song.
So.
So sultry.
Do you want to throw out any impressions for me this time round?
Not put any thought into any at all.
Give me the hormone monster.
I'm actually trying to think of something he says during that film.
Send her a dick pic.
Too easy. We've already done send her a dick pic.
Fuck her face.
When we've done that. I'm actually struggling to think of anything worth doing an impersonation of.
I'm drawing a unicorn.
I'm just doing a unicorn. Fucking this man. Yeah. Dick pics. Fuck her face. The hormone monster. What? Oh no, there's a nice bit in it where one of the kids sees him for some reason, where normally they don't reference him or acknowledge his existence, but one of the kids sees him turn up in the room and goes, "Oh my god, what are you?" And goes, "Oh, don't worry. I'm just here to give your friend a little package in the night." And makes the boy have a wet dream, basically. Mm. He goes, "Are you the hormone fairy? The fuck did you just say to me? Are you the hormone? I'm the hormone fucking monster, you little prick." You know, he's just... So he's rage and lust. He's great.
Just to confirm that you're moving from smoking to coffee as your
advertising piece, yeah.
And which coffee is it?
It is Nescafe Gold Blend, because I drink a magnitude of the stuff.
Do you want to sing the theme tune to Nescafe Gold Blend?
I didn't know they had a theme tune.
Pretty sure they did have a theme tune, like in the... It could be the 80s.
I thought the Nescafe Gold Blend theme tune was the sound of a spoon going through the foil. And then the sound of just sheer relief from the person who gets that first smell. Have you ever opened a foil lid just near your face? And it's that initial whiff as all of the essence just goes, "Oh, we're free!" And straight up your nose, like, "We're out!" Oh, sweet Jesus, that's good. It is kind of like when you first open your pack of tobacco and you get that fresh smell.
Ah, yes.
Coffee has a unique scent when you first open it. It's just... gorgeous. I didn't know they had Nescafe open up or something. I can't remember what it was. An advertising piece or similar, but...
Which was the one that had Giles in?
Giles?
From Buffy. Giles used to... I'm sure he used to do...
He showed him this distinguished look with his glasses stirring it and things. Yeah. That rings vaguely familiar, but I have no idea.
A coffee advert.
Not a clue off the top of my head, I'm afraid. I can't remember at all. But no, yes, I'm going to stand by that. I'm going to have to assume Nescafe did not have a theme tune, short of the sound of addicts masturbating in the background to joy of it. I don't think there was really a sound to associate with it. So no, I can't give you a theme song for Nescafe. I couldn't even make you one up. I'm not musical enough to even try. I'm not musical enough for
theme songs. Actually, the next time I come around, I want you to have a theme song for whatever you're advertising. Full setup, full, you know, garage band or something.
I'm tone deaf. What the hell do you want from me?
A tone deaf theme tune.
Nescafe.
Perfect. And on that note,
drink it or I'll keep singing. I've got nothing more.
That's enough. That's all we need.
To the attuned ear in the world, that'll be like nails on a chalkboard. They're not going to drink Nescafe. They're going to shoot themselves.
I think it would be hysterical if further down the line Nescafe contact you and go,
"You know what? We want you to be our go compare guy. That god awful singer. Yeah, we want people to hear you once, think it's funny, and then second time want you dead.
Want to kill you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to bring you back later on because the world apparently missed you and felt bad for you. Yeah. I don't know why they did that. I should have said go compare. I can sing that one. No. Yeah, I think we've covered it all off again.
Podcast round two, Edward Dench. Thanks.
Probably for, no more insight.
I was going to say thanks for coming, but then I realised I'm sat in your house, so
it's fine. You're welcome. No more insight.
Thanks for letting me come round and record you for a podcast.
I still think we need to test out doing the solo ones and see how that goes. You just have to send for a concept and see how long the person can talk for. It'll be fine with a couple of us. Tom Quinn will get a go. How do you feel about life?
Fine.
Pretty good.
Next question.
Is that it? That's all we got? Oh, shit. Thanks for listening.
And there we go. I'm going to cut it there. I'm going to say, Edward Dench, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Come back again.
You're welcome back again.
You're welcome back again. I'll come back again.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's go with that. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
So there you go. What did you think to that? Part two of my conversation with Ed. Good times. As always, check out the website, thecookiecast.com. It's got all our contact info on there. Give us a shout. Tell us what you're thinking, what you're liking, what you're not liking, what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. Tune in next time for another fantastic episode of Cookie Cast. But until then, bye-bye.